In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I suspect that most of us have heard today's gospel story before, if not many times. But I wonder if today we can hear it afresh. There is a question that reverberates in today's gospel reading, a question in the eye of a wild storm on the Lake of Galilee. And this is one of the most important questions that will ever be asked. Who then is this? Who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who is this Jesus indeed? And who is he to us? Well, this vignette we have here dramatically encapsulates not just our questioning, but points to the beginning of an answer. Before this storm narrative, Jesus has had a demanding time at the commencement of his ministry. He has been battling the forces of darkness in people and overcoming them. He has been teaching his followers about the kingdom of God, although, as we know, as we have heard from the last weeks from the gospel reading through Mark, his followers are actually having a really difficult time trying to understand what he's saying. The crowds have been constant, and it is time for some space for Jesus now, and for his followers, I suspect. And perhaps Jesus is exhausted. He says to the disciples, "Let us depart to the other side." And so the boat, and he's been preaching from that boat sets out with Jesus and the disciples in it. Now, it is the very human figure of Jesus, curled up asleep in the boat, that we see at first in the narrative as the storm builds up. A human figure who displays complete trust in his disciples and himself by falling asleep. Probably most of us have seen the sea at the time of wild weather. We have just recently travelled up to the top of Cape York, and there is one spot up there off the coast where we had to stop to see what the water did at that spot, which continually, not just in wild weather, but even in good weather, is in turmoil, like a huge washing machine, as the different currents and tide waves come in. And it is a little terrifying to look at it. And probably most of you, like me, have gazed out at what has been called our country's most treacherous waters, the perilous rip at the heads between Queenscliff and Point Lonsdale. And you've seen the wild waves capped by white foam and heard the howl of the wind. At such times, we are reminded of how treacherous to human life the seas can be. Perhaps you remember the death of one of the captains of the pilot boat there at Queenscliff. In that very spot, just a few years ago, he was attempting to guide yet another cargo ship through the heads in wild weather, and his small boat was upended by a huge wave, and tragically, he drowned. Well, in today's gospel vignette, we have the picture, as I said, of another wild storm and another small boat. This story so captured the Dutch artist Rembrandt's imagination in the early 17th century that he painted it. And in fact, it was the only seascape that he ever painted. And it is a huge painting. In that wonderful painting, which you might remember, unfortunately now stolen and of unknown location, but in that painting we see the terrified disciples vainly trying to keep the boat upright in a sudden storm, as a huge wave crashes over its bow, ripping the sails and drawing it perilously close to rocks. One of the disciples is so overcome by the sea's violence that he vomits over the side. And that, Rembrandt has put in the painting. So there is a pending disaster here, isn't there? That, well, from our perspective now, we know that Christ is about to avert that. But the disciples didn't know that at the time. And where is Jesus in this? Well, he remains calmly asleep at the eye of the storm. It's a bit like when we're in trouble, isn't it? And we say, God, where are you? Where are you in this disastrous circumstance, in this despair, in this suffering that we are going through? Where are you? Well, finally, Jesus is awakened by the disciples' desperate, demanding pleas for help. They're terrified, of course, by the storm, but they haven't yet made the connection about who Jesus really is. Yes, they've observed miracles, but they haven't made that connection yet between the presence of Jesus and the presence of God's kingdom among them. They don't really understand who Jesus is in all his fullness. And so they're gripped with the idea right at this point in the eye of the storm that they're about to lose everything, including their lives, when actually they have everything they need with them, the divine presence, the God who is with. So what happens next? Well, Jesus wakes up from being asleep like a trusting child, and he majestically rebukes the wind, silencing the out-of-control elements. This quelling of chaotic waters demonstrates divine power, the divine power we often see in the Hebrew Bible as well. Indeed, it was God who at the very beginning, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, created out of dark, watery chaos the heavens and the earth and controlled the separation of the waters with transcendent power. So, who then is this Jesus who commands with divine authority? Well, we're going to go on a little zooming task here. We need to zoom out a little. You know how we do that at times, like with Google Maps, and you have to work out whether you have to press the plus or the minus on your Google Maps to work out whether you're trying to get closer in. I always get confused. And then you've got to work out whether you use your two fingers and how you do that. The Google Maps, I think most of you have probably tried that on your phones. Well, I have, and it doesn't always work. But we are going to zoom out, and it is going to work. We're going to do some time travel as well. So, this divine power over the elements of nature is actually that which existed, stay with me, before the beginning of time, and before creation. You see, Jesus has entered the world, our world, from a before with God. Indeed, of course, as we know, he is God, part of the Holy Trinity of love, and he's going to return to that glory. So here we are now at a point outside of time, contemplating, if we can, the love of God that has always existed. So, as I said, the desire and love of God for all humanity, indeed all of creation, has been there from before the beginning of time. So this is how and why we were created out of love and for love. And in order to restore us to God and to each other, to liberate us from all that binds us and threatens to keep us trapped, the eternal God enters into time, so we're stepping back into time, takes on a human face, a human being in the person of Jesus. And as we know, in that person, God will then take on the powers of darkness and violence and ultimately defeat them on the cross. So we're zooming back in now. Let's zoom back in. And we're back in this tiny boat, threatened by the wild sea. And in that tiny boat is God's self, the one who has come from beyond time to enter our humanness. Isn't it interesting that when the disciples see what Jesus does, the demonstration of Jesus' divine power, that they're filled with great awe, yes, and yet they still don't quite get it. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" I wonder how he said this. Sometimes we imagine he says it as a rebuke. You know, like we say to people sometimes, "Don't you get it?" No, I don't think Jesus said it like that. I suspect he said it with love and understanding, with the infinite patience of God himself. So, as I said at the beginning, yes, we have heard this story before, but I wonder if today we can hear it afresh. Can we experience that amazing shock of yet again realizing that this very human figure is also the Son of God, fully human and fully divine, as we say in the Nicene Creed? So, God, who in many ways is utter mystery, has not left us alone, but has climbed into our boat on the restless seas and completely entered our humanness. Why? Because we are utterly and completely loved. Who then is this Jesus for us? Here, now, today? He asks each of us, as he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" We don't just answer this question with our heads. Let the question reverberate in your heart. Live with it. Don't give up asking it. Whatever stage of our faith journey and whatever age we are, there is always more to grasp of who Jesus Christ is to us. There are always new questions to be asked, new depths of the ultimate mystery to be plumbed. Now, in a moment, we're going to come to the Eucharist and partake of that. And Jesus invites us to come as we are, with our longings, our fears, our doubts, and our questions. And there we are met by Christ, on whose face is a look of love. And he says to each of us, "My peace I give you. Peace, be still."